up, everyone, and welcome to a brand new take on an old staple, What's Worth Watching. In this new edition, we discuss just what's worth watching in 30 minutes or less. Tonight, we are watching Disney Plus's Loki, Episode 2, The Variant. Joining me tonight is... Let's go with you, Adam.
It's Adam.
Oh, damn it. My bad. I expected I had to direct you. God damn it. No faith.
Ass.
Never have
faith. You fucking ass. It's Adam, the Urban Spidey.
And Psycho Shinobi, aka Star Wars Savage.
Thank you, Tommy, for joining us on this new episode. It's an honor to have one of the legends of Pokai.
Hey.
Everybody knows how myself and Adam feel about Loki. What is your feelings with the Disney Plus series?
I mean, I like Loki as a character, but I think as far as any Marvel content period, I'm just overall excited for. So, yeah, I was looking forward to jumping on this day one. I was on it. As soon as midnight hit, I was ready to watch episode one. Same with episode two. So, yeah, I'm hyped for it.
Okay, you're a midnighter.
Every episode.
That's it, man. That's my man's. Every ep goes back, not just Loki. It goes to Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. The Mandalorian. You know, it's always waiting till midnight. Some of these, like The Mandalorian, I was watching with my kids, mainly my daughter. And I got to the point where she couldn't stay up till midnight. So then I had to pretend like I was watching it brand new with her the next day.
Right.
I kind of carried over with WandaVision. Loki is, this is another one where I'm pretending that I'm watching it the first time, the second day with them. I love the comedic tone of the Marvel, the MCU, that they land in with WandaVision as well as with Loki. And yeah, I get you little spurts of it with Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, cause it's, you know, what's on the line is extremely serious. However, there's like comedic overtones here and there, and it spices it up nicely.
Episode two is another home run. I'm going to go right to you, Adam.
Loki isn't to be trusted. And the timeline, the sacred timeline, just got absolutely ass fucked. I said it in the weekly show that I thought like maybe there would be some event that happened in Loki that would affect the timeline and would lead into like the multiverse of madness and other stuff like that. And then it happened literally 3 days later.
Well, to be fair, you're on all of those Reddit spoiler threads and you're on 4chan and...
I don't go on 4chan. yeah. And it's bad enough that I go on Reddit. But no, this wasn't something that was like leaked or anything. This was like purely speculation from that introduction to the sacred timeline we had in episode one. And I thought like maybe this would happen towards the end.
Yeah.
It would lead into like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, because obviously these alternate timelines all from all around the sacred timeline, all these branches coming out. There's no way that the entire TVA is going to be able to spread themselves that thin and get to every branch and clip it.
We don't know that. There's a lot of offices. A lot of lights in those windows.
I don't know. There's a reason it's a cliffhanger episode.
The standout moment for me was the reveal of Femme Loki. Because, I mean, we already had hints of there going to be a female Loki in the show. Like, I'm sure we've all seen the pictures and stuff that they showed on social media and whatnot. And I thought for sure they were just kind of going to string us along a few episodes until they do the big reveal. I'm glad they did it the next episode, because that would have been a little irritating to me. So I'm glad they're moving at a somewhat quick pace as far as the storytelling is going, and they did the big reveal then. And man, like, what really stood out to me was this Femme Loki seems to be more powerful than the Loki that we know. So it's kind of like, okay, so this is a more powerful version of Loki. Like, where does she get his powers from? Like, what's her story? And when you see the reveal, you notice that one of her horns was broken off, kind of like the comics. So it's kind of like, if you know comics, you think this is that version of Loki were. It's just a reincarnation of Loki after Ragnarok into a female body that was meant for Sif. So you're, you know, at least my mind was starting to wander, like, is that really what this is? What is the story? But then I kind of have a few theories as far as what might be going on, because, you know, this is all leading up until the Multiverse of Madness. And we know that in the Multiverse of Madness, supposedly Wanda, she's going to be the main villain there, the Scarlet Witch. At least that's what I heard, and that's the rumor, that she's going to be the main villain. So I'm thinking that maybe, perhaps, like, being that she is a Nexus being, and we know what the Nexus events mean as far as the TVA goes, perhaps she's manipulating all these events into a singular purpose. And, you know, it's all unfolding, and it seems like it's, you know, the possibilities are endless, but it seems like it's going that direction.
With this episode, I love that we get Loki's first assignment. I love that we see a Loki that he's eager to play the game.
Yeah.
And because there's an end goal. I think we talked about this in the weekly show. Adam and Andre are very focused on getting credit for whenever an assumption is towards something that happens to be true. The idea that Loki's end game to get an audience with the Timekeepers.
Yeah.
He understands there's an ultimate power he doesn't quite understand. He needs to grab understanding about it. And I gotta act the part in order to achieve it. It's interesting that Mobius is able to see through Loki at every turn. For the most part, he's able to stare at Loki for a beat. No, this guy's wasting time. He's lying. When they're in the Renaissance Fair, and Loki's trying to he's trying to persuade the team to not leave the tent, and it kind of goes into another theory of ours, that might be a version of Loki unto himself. I really dig how Loki, being an Asgardian god, has a problem understanding Mobius, has faith in a potential set of gods like the Timekeepers. He has a hard time wrapping his head around that, because an Asgardian doesn't have a god. They're the gods.
Yeah.
He's very much in his own ass, and he's very much somebody that's constantly putting himself in a superior state. We see it in the first episode when he falls in Mongolia, and he has to prop himself up on the highest.
Yeah, look up to me.
Exactly. The highest stone that's available. That idea that he is struggling with the idea that there may be something that,
yeah,
greater than himself. It's also played out throughout the episode, where they keep mentioning that this variant they're chasing is a much more powerful version than Loki, like you called out, Tommy. We do seem to see some version of a higher power set. I mean, there's a moment when they're in the Roxxon. What was that? It was like a Walmart. What was that called?
Roxcart?
Right. Yes. Yeah. When they're in there, and female Loki reveals herself to Loki, where you do hear it's obviously Loki's voice, but it sounds as though it's more of her reading his mind, which is a power set we don't see with our Loki.
Yeah.
We also see Loki, our Loki, for the first time use the Force when he pulls a Roomba in the vacuum aisle. We've never seen him do that, though. We've never seen him ever telepathically or kinetically pull something towards him. Maybe that's a power he's always had, but why he's never used it in any film we've witnessed is weird.
He probably might want to show off for this Loki. That's probably why.
You know, it makes me wonder too, because, you know, Loki wasn't born with powers. He's not a mutant. He's an Asgardian god, but he's first and foremost a frost giant. He was taught the ways of sorcery from his mom, right? Mm-hmm. His mom's a witch. So maybe one of the reasons this female Loki is so powerful is maybe she's been around longer.
I like that. And it could lead into the theory that I have.
Uh-oh.
What if they're combining the character, the Marvel character, not the DC character, Enchantress?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because in one of the comics, that's who she is, more or less, as a creation of Loki. that was became Enchantress. I can't remember exactly. It's been a long time since I read that comic. Yeah. So yeah, Enchantress could be this character. I mean, she is blonde.
Mm-hmm.
that's an interesting take. Like, why, if this is supposed to be a twin essentially of Loki, why change the hair color? But they do a little bit of exposition inside this episode as they're showing different variations of Loki and how he could physically look different. Also, his real appearance isn't what we're used to. His real appearance is a blue frost giant. He's just enchanted to look the way he does look. But, you know, for the audience sake, why have her have blonde hair? I mean, it could be the same actress. Why not have her have black hair?
Plus, the green magic, the blonde hair and then the green magic,
it's kind of too on the nose.
Yeah.
At least for comic fans, like, you see the green magic is Enchantress's magic is green.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Loki's is, wait, oh no, he's green too.
Yeah, he's green, right?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't seen Loki use green magic.
Not like we've ever seen with like Scarlet Witch or this version of Loki, or even Strange for that matter. Strange, they have the golden. Isn't it golden?
Well, the time stone is green, but yeah, the regular spells are like orange.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have that color, we have green now, and we have purple. Is that it? Is that all for all of the
red?
Oh, and then red, yeah.
Red, yeah.
Since we're talking about female Loki in the Walmart, when we first meet her, she is a different ethnicity altogether and a different sex. It's similar to how that movie Fallen with Denzel Washington and John Goodman, where she's entering people. She's taking over people's bodies and minds.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that's her real final form? How do we know that blonde-haired woman unveiling herself is truly the female Loki?
Because the others didn't use the magic.
Ah, okay.
Like, you notice when Loki and the fat guy that took over.
Yeah, he just fainted.
Yeah, he never used magic. He was always using like brute strength.
It kind of implies that this Fem Loki is stronger physically than Loki we know as well, because mm-hmm. he got overpowered.
Okay, that's a great catch, because yeah, I'm looking at it on Disney Plus. You're right. They're not using the actual powers. Once she comes into the cloaked version, she's using her power set. Right on. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of school. In the very beginning of this episode, when we get to the Renaissance Fair, I glossed over this. I wanted to talk about it this first and foremost. Was that Agatha in the beginning?
I thought that too. I was like, for a split second, I was like, wait, is that Agatha? But I don't think it's Agatha.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you never know. It's 1985. This is way before WandaVision.
Way before WandaVision. We know she's... What? How old was she? 400 years old? Is that what it turned out to be?
Around there, yeah.
If it was supposed to be Agatha, I'm pretty sure they would have got what's her name?
The same chick. Yeah. I noticed that they when they go in the tent, they start playing, what's that song called? Holding Out for a Hero.
I'm holding out for a hero. Okay, I'm sorry.
I was like, wait a minute, like that song. I mean, that's an 80s song. It originally came out on the movie Footloose, which is Star-Lord's favorite film. I was like, is there any sort of connection there?
Well, I mean, was it playing in the speakers, or was it playing at the Renaissance Fair, or was it playing? Because, you know, there's the break in, there's a male voice that's talking about the presentation that's about to take place outside.
She made a mix.
Was it, yeah, was it cued in, or was that
she made a mixtape for the track? That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that is a pretty next level Loki shit right there. I wonder though, is that telling us something to have a whole dance sequence, as it were, fight sequence with that song blaring? Are we to assume the hero we're holding out for?
Does she view herself as a hero potentially, or what? Like, but then again,
there's
like,
also that line in this episode. No one's completely, every good person isn't completely good, or No bad person is completely bad or something along those lines.
That's exactly it.
So
maybe the big reveal isn't the female Loki. I mean, especially getting it in episode 2. What how many are we going, Adam? Is it 6?
I don't know. No one knows.
Oh, what? Nobody knows?
I don't think so.
No.
It's rumored between 6 and 8, but nothing for sure.
The timekeepers know.
Yes, the timekeepers know. If they're even real.
There we go. The timekeepers themselves. Are we convinced that they actually exist, one? And if they do exist, are they in charge of everything we're seeing? Are they in charge of the sacred timeline? Or are they being puppeted by somebody else?
They do exist. However, they're probably not as grandiose as, you know, the training video shows them as. Like, I kind of view it as, like, in this version of Marvel, we usually get characters that are supposed to be grandiose in power. Like we have, what's his face from Thor Ragnarok?
Grandmaster.
What's that guy? Grandmaster. Like, he's supposed to be very powerful and very wise. Here, in this universe, he's betrayed by... I forget the dude's name.
He's just Jeff Goldblum.
Like, he's goofy. He's weird. He doesn't really show like any like real power. I kind of feel like they're going to go that direction with the timekeepers. They're going to be lazy. They're going to be goofy, weird. And
I could see it being like just like three fat dudes sitting in like fucking bean bags.
Yeah.
Like some D&D players.
Fucking, yeah. Fucking what's happening potato now? Chips.
That, crumbs. Yeah, whatever. Go ahead.
That's interesting, though, because you get it with Ego, too, right? I mean, you have Kurt Russell doing his Kurt Russelling.
However, he was pretty powerful, but yeah.
He was powerful, but he betrayed himself differently. And then you have the Grandmaster's brother, the Collector. So you do have some of these really powerful beings in the MCU, even Odin, for that matter. You know, and the power sets are lowered down and they are not as serious until there's moments for them to be. My question about those timekeepers, I'm wondering if their timekeepers are being kept themselves. And there was a movie with my man, Mission Impossible. What's that? What's my man's name? Scientology. Motherfucker stands on milk cartons.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Minority Report. And in Minority Report, there were these three mutants that were able to foresee the future or potential futures. And there was a whole police force built around their prophecies, and people were being executed or put away before they can even commit the crime. The whole twist of the movie is that these powerful beings were being kept. As powerful as they may have been, they were being kept in a pool of milky ass water that they all share. That shit's not hygienic. And, you know, there's a Tom Cruise trying to run fast towards a camera with a mutant on his back and save this all powerful being. I wonder if maybe the timekeepers are a version of that. Maybe we have somebody like, what's her name? Renslayer. Maybe she's working for somebody that she is mistaking as a representative of the timekeepers.
Yeah, not all of them have access to all the floors, I would imagine. And there might be one floor that just nobody has access to. But, you know, if the timekeepers created everything there, the TVA, then, you know, they have full control. They can communicate how they like, and they never have to be seen, period.
Getting deeper into the multiverses from WandaVision, going into Loki, going obviously into Multiverse of Madness. Obviously, we're getting Kang and Ant-Man later on. Maybe we're getting an origin of Kang himself in this show.
Yeah, that's a theory. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily later. Maybe we've already met him. Maybe he's already in our face. And as much as I want to pin the Loki crown onto Owen Wilson, because he very much seems like a good fit for that character, or at least a variant, maybe that's a version of Kang unto himself. A long time ago, Adam, maybe about a year ago, we used to do Senses Shattering Scoops by way of Mikey Sutton. We did it was a short-lived segment when we tried to do segments.
I remember.
We tried to shoehorn that in. And one of the one of these scoops was that Owen Wilson was King himself. But then we actually got somebody casted for the role. My man from Lovecraft Country,
Jonathan
Majors.
What if this is a version of King? Maybe this is a way for him to camouflage his true identity. Maybe King is the beginning of King is Owen Wilson, who's ultimately fed up because he never can get to that jet ski he continues to read about. Yeah. And maybe my man Mikey Sun's half right. Maybe that's something we're going to see later in the season here. I mean, this is Lightning McQueen, bro. There ain't no way it's stuck in this one series. Chow. So as I throw that out there, let's go into some what ifing. You said earlier on, Tom, you had some theories that regarding this show. Let's go ahead and hear them.
As far as King the Conqueror, maybe he's like the one behind the scenes already, kind of like Thanos. Like, he was always the person behind a lot of these giant schemes that we never saw, but was implied.
Yeah,
that he was there manipulating everything. I'm thinking maybe King the Conqueror has been there the whole time. Maybe he manipulated events in Infinity War. You never know. Maybe he's manipulating Wanda Maximoff into being that she's a Nexus being, into manipulating events, leading to whatever his main goal is. Maybe he's manipulating Femme Loki right now into or made a deal with her in order to cause these events for whatever his main purpose is. We never know. But there's always, I mean, that formula has been established as far as the MCU goes, that there's going to be one big bad in behind the scenes controlling everything, every aspect, making the orders. And there's going to be, it's one giant chessboard. There's always going to be the pawn that's pawns, you know, moving the board around. So it's, I feel like maybe he's already there. And I don't know. You never know. He might not be the main big bad for all I know, but you know, but the pieces are moving. I mean, we're all seeing it right now. So I'm hyped for it.
Well, I just wanted to say that I said in the weekly show that I wasn't feeling episode one. It's not bad by any means. It's just
it didn't captivate you.
Yeah,
at least not yet.
It didn't catch me. It didn't grab me. But this episode, that opening just grabbed me, and it felt very Ragnarok-like, and I really like that. But as for theories, I think that I'll have a theory next week.
You son of a bitch. All right, you know what? Before we end, you know, the biggest question that we didn't even touch on, I mean, it's probably the biggest, it potentially could be the biggest question of the entire series. Is it gay to bang out your own variant?
I knew you were going to say, I knew it. I knew it. I felt it. I felt it in the force. Like, I know exactly what he's going to say.
Right.
And the answer is, it's not gay to be gay.
That's right. Trademarked.
I mean, it's a little gay.
It's not all the way gay.
It's not all the way gay. It's okay.
But she does have a broken horn, you know what I'm saying?
You can find me on Instagram at @urban_spidey and on YouTube, Urban Spidey.
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, Star Wars Savage. You can also find me on Twitter, Psycho Shinobi. And you can also find me here on this network, Legends of Polkai, with Baba fucking Bear. And Slytherin Darkness.
All right. Well, the goal is to follow up shows like Loki, shows that we are excited to watch on the week-by-week basis. And hopefully you will be tuned in for next week. Until then, thank you for listening.
Know me, yo, I be low key and could never be Thor, never be low key. not ever seen like I'm G-O-D. Yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. You know me, yo, I be low-key. And could never be Thor, never be low-key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D. Yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. Some of these youngins feel they need to riot. I'm just trying to plot and chill, yo, I'm keeping quiet. Stay keeping all my work under wraps for love and thunder. Finna bring the thunder back. Like a SGA, a Luke Dort. Or like Primetime, your son, a two-sport. Nah, I still want my life private, want a peaceful. But I be used to the noise, I'm from the East Coast. You know me, yo, I be low-key. And could never be Thor, never be low-key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D. Yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. You know me, yo, I be low-key. And could never be Thor, never be low-key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D. Yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. So low-key, about to move to a ghost town. Some know me and they call me the GOAT now. Damn son, yo, that praise too much. My fans the best type to make you blush. Put on a mask and use another name. I'm growing every day, some old friends just want the same. Funds wired to me, move to the islands. No baloney, real G's move in silence. You know me, yo, I be low-key. And could never be Thor, never be low-key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D. Yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. You know me, yo, I be low-key. And could never be Thor, never be low-key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D. Yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B.